Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you, he is seated on the throne. And all authority and power and dominion is under his feet. And Lord, we thank you tonight that we're covered by the blood of Jesus and we have liberty in your presence. And Father, we thank you that we come boldly now into your presence. We thank you that we are washed by the blood of the Lamb and we stand complete in you. And so, Lord, we commit our time, we commit this message into your hands and all those that come into the room now in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I have a title tonight that we're going to talk about, and that is Don't Try and Make Friends with the Flesh. Don't try and make friends with the flesh. This may not be new to any of us, but most of our conflict is with the flesh in our lives, or the fleshly appetites. That is so often what we're warring with. And this, of course, is where the enemy works, tempts us, and tries to cause us to walk away from God. You see, flesh and spirit are in a warfare. And we're going to be gleaning from this tonight from the book of Galatians. But at times we need to discuss and be aware and sensitive to what our warfare is about. And it helps us to understand when things are happening or things seem to be going wrong, or I don't seem to get the victory for a season. Sometimes we need just to come back to understand what our warfare is about and what is going on. You see, Isaiah 40 tells us that all flesh is grass. In other words, the flesh side of us, of man, is going to pass away. We're told also in Genesis in 6, where the Lord said that all flesh had become corrupt in his sight. Hence, he sent the flood. Jesus said also, didn't he, in John 6, that flesh profits nothing, but the Spirit gives life. So no man is going to glorify God in the flesh. And this, of course, is what Christendom today is trying to do, through flesh, through pride, and so on. But the Bible is absolutely clear that no man will glorify God in the flesh, in that sense, the appetites of the flesh. Of course, we are flesh, we're fleshly. That's how God has made us. But it's not in that that we're going to glorify God. We glorify God in the inner man, in the circumcised heart. So this is where we're coming from today as we're looking at this. And turn with me now, if you will, to Galatians chapter 5. And we'll start with verse 17 of Galatians chapter 5 and verse 17, which says, "For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish." So we're told quite clear here that flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. In other words, one could say it's like fire and water, light and darkness. The two do not agree. And never will. And this is what has attacked Christendom right through the ages, where Christians compromise and try to get the flesh to agree with the spirit and the spirit to agree with the flesh. And they never do. And they never will. And this is why there's no victories, no breakthroughs. Well, God would not give such statements here if this could not be dealt with. For God never contradicts himself. You see, the power of the Spirit is given to us in which we can overcome the flesh. Let's look at verses 16 to 19. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Well, obviously, to walk in the Spirit means that you've got to be a new creation. It means that God dwells with you. He is with you and in you. So you definitely have to be a new creation in which to fulfill that walk of the Spirit, because we worship God in spirit and in truth. All now under the new covenant, we worship God, we walk by faith, we walk in the Spirit. All of this is appropriated by believing, by faith in the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. And he goes on, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. So we all wish, we all desire to walk in the Spirit, to please God, to obey him, to walk 24/7 in that unbroken fellowship. That should be the desire of our hearts if we are born again and a new creation in Christ. That affection, that desire, that aim, that vision should be in all of us. But we know, sadly, we don't always fulfill it. But that is our vision, because without a vision, we perish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So sin, unbelief, brings us down into the bondage and corruption of the law. And he goes on, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies. And so it goes on. All of that's been catalogued there are what manifests out of man, out of the flesh. All for self, self-gratification, what I want, me self, in other words. So it's quite clear here what the Apostle Paul is emphasizing. Now, in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which we all encourage to have, is essential if we want to go on in the deeper life and walk with God. We find in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, God empowers the believer to walk in the Spirit. And he empowers us for a purpose and a reason that we might start to mature into sons. That's one of its aims and purposes. And also in the fruit of the Spirit, that is, of course, love. That is the fulfillment of it all. Here again, we see this in verses 22 to 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. So there we are contrasted in the Spirit, through the power of the Holy Spirit. He has provided the fruit of the Spirit. He's provided that love, that joy, that peace, that long-suffering, and so on. All of that he has given to us through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, through the new birth, through God living in us. Completely the opposite to envy, murders, drunkenness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, all of these things, complete opposite. God has given to us freely in Christ Jesus as a gift for our use, for us to overcome, to draw from. And that is why we're without excuse, brothers and sisters, because of what God is giving us, that we can draw from this. Nobody cannot say that it was not there. Love was not present. Nobody can say, unless we will, we choose to do the opposite. And when we find we're in that conflict with our will, with our affections, our desires, if you love Jesus, the only thing you can do is offer it over to him. And whatever it takes, Lord, do it. I bring it before you. I'm on the altar. And sometimes you will find yourself in a conflict like that, where that's the only thing you can do. But God is merciful, because he brings us to that place in which to surrender our will, our hearts, our affections before him. Otherwise, it cannot be achieved. For we will always do and we'll always go wherever our hearts are. So we find then that in the Spirit, the baptism of the Spirit, God has provided the fruit of the Spirit in which to draw from. You see, the fruit is in the Holy Spirit, as I'm saying. In other words, in Jesus, in him who lives in you. He is the fruit of the Spirit. He is all of those things that we have just read there. And because he is those things, he lives in you. And therefore, that can and will manifest through you, yes, even into your flesh life. That's the miracle of all of this. You see, it's this yielding our lives to him. Not to some man or ministry, but to him only. Not even yielding yourself over to yourself, your own pride or deception. It's that yielding our lives totally unto him will this be achieved. And you see, this is where our free will comes in. Some of us may have to be honest, it's not in my will. I'm deceiving myself. I'm pretending, I'm going along with it all. I'm being religious, but it's not really in my will. Well, you have a choice with that, because you can offer your will over to him. This is why we so often emphasize Romans 12, 1 and 2, to present yourself as a living sacrifice unto the Lord. And many times God brings these things to our attention where he's wanting us to surrender up that affection, that desire. Some of us think that because we have presented ourselves, I put myself on the altar, that's it. There's also a daily offering in that sense. As God works with us, the same as the children of Israel and the priests offered up sacrifices, there were different types of sacrifices offered up to God, as well as the sacrifice for the sins of Israel to atone for a whole nation. But there were many other sacrifices offered as well. And so we can take, in a sense, a parallel from that. Although we've offered ourselves once and for all, yet it's a continual offering as God exposes and brings to light those things that he's cleaning and circumcising us with, so that we can bring it and put it on the altar in that sense. Because, yes, I'm already on there, but there's something else that God has revealed, and there I leave it and place it on there. And God will take it up. He will consume it. He will accept it. And he will bring that healing and deliverance and salvation to us. That's the promise that God has given to us. But it is our free will that comes in every time. You see, the secret to the Spirit-filled life is indeed found in chapter 5 of Galatians. And we know this well, verses 24-25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. And he says in verse 24, and those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So we then come, don't we, obviously, to the cross. You see, Christ has overcome for us, that we now can walk in the Spirit. He's made that possible through the cross. And he says it's now possible for you that you copy me in that sense, and you daily now take up your cross and follow me. Where we go wrong, we're still trying to understand this in the natural mind, and you can't. These are spiritual things that only the Spirit can work out in and through our lives. How God works the crucified life in you and I is a work of the Holy Spirit. You can't work this. You can't try and enact this. You could in the flesh, but that's all it will be. These are workings that can only be achieved and done by the power of the Holy Spirit working in your life and my life. God knows how to work the cross, to put to death those desires, those affections, those things that try to control us. He knows how to put that to death, providing you're willing to take it up in confession, in faith, in belief, and he'll do the rest. Exactly the same with Jesus. They handed him over to the Romans. He didn't have to do anything. They did it for him. They placed him and hung him up on that cross. They did it. And God will do the same in your life and my life. And that is where it starts. But some of us, I still think, have this idea that I've got to achieve this. I've got to do this. It isn't. It's an offering. It's a confession. It's based on belief. And the Holy Spirit will do it. And you'll soon find, and you'll start to see, the power of the Holy Spirit working this in and through your life. Because it's not by might nor by power, it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. That might sound elementary, but I sense God is telling me that there are some still don't quite understand this yet. But praise God, this is why it's coming up. Because Christ has overcome for us, he's overcome all things, that we can also walk in the Spirit like this. You see, when we become, for example, say impatient, or we start doubting, or when the mind is overwhelmed by fear or depression, what are we going to do at that point? Are we going to cry and moan, turn to God? Yes, we can plead the blood of Jesus and so on. Or are we going to find that if we settle this in our lives, are we going to find that there is that yielding over to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, Christ who lives in you, there's that yielding over to him so that the fruit of the Spirit may take its place in whatever you're going through. And remember, a lot of the battles are in the mind. So when there's depression, doubt, unbelief trying to come in, are we going to, at that point, yield over to the Holy Spirit for the joy of the Lord to start to manifest and take over? You have a choice at that point. You can choose, because it is there by the power of the Holy Spirit. He has given it to you. he has promised. And that's why we read the word of God as well, to encourage us that it's all there. You see, for every temptation to sin, there's an opposite fruit of the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will produce this if we wish. Everything you need to overcome in this life is provided through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is why we encourage you to speak in tongues, to build yourself up in your most holy faith, Jude 20, and so on. He has provided everything for you in this walk, which he has predestined and he has gone before and prepared for you to be able to overcome. And he says there's an opposite fruit that will manifest by the Holy Spirit that will produce and take over at that point. How do you think Jesus overcame otherwise? It is there for us. Our problem is we still yet don't believe it. We're not convinced. Or we still don't desire this yet. You see, have we been gossiped about, or somebody's lying about us, or have we found ourselves mistreated and abused, or whatever it would be? Then God has provided a fruit for all of that, and that fruit is love. You see, fruit is there to take over. Or are we going to find within ourselves that hate rising up, which of course the Bible says eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth? Evil for evil? Is that what is breeding in your heart? Or are you going to yield over to the Holy Spirit, who is love, the fruit of the Spirit, and that love will start to grow and take over in that trial and situation? It will. God is so great that he can deal with every evil, every problem that we go through. He has provided the fruit for that. We just have that choice. We have a choice this evening to believe whether we want to choose to believe this teaching or not. But if we're truly Jesus and we belong to him and he lives in our lives and we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, then something within us says, yes, Lord, whatever it takes, just do this. There's a healthy desire and appetite for wanting this to be achieved and happening in our lives. That's how we grow. If you just simply listen to this as a teaching, or another teaching, another meeting, and don't put your heart, your soul, your desire, your decision behind it, then it's going to achieve nothing. The parable of the sower. Everything we hear in teaching, and we are blessed week after week under the anointing, is for us to receive. But we have a free will. So whatever we go through, there's an opposite there of the fruit of the Spirit to take over. You see, Satan is out to rob you. He's out to rob you of your spiritual strength and power and joy. And that's why you find that you're not rising up. This is why maybe the gifts of the Spirit are not manifesting in your life. This is why you find yourself not praying. This is why maybe you find yourself not actively involved in the church, in the body, when we come to the meetings, because you're still allowing Satan to rob you in your mind. And he will rob you of your spiritual strength and power, which is given to you by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes baptizing us in power, might, and strength. Satan knows that, and this is where he's going to rob you. Because you can't operate in the gifts. I couldn't even preach tonight if I give in all the while and let him rob me of power and strength. We wouldn't be able to do any of these things. And yet some of us are still yielding over to this. Because you've not yet found that there is the fruit of the Spirit, an opposite to manifest and take over. And this is why we're depressed, downcast, poor me. Satan wants you looking inward to yourself all the time. This is how he gets you looking away from Jesus and taking up your cross daily and following him. He knows what he's doing. And sadly, Christians fall for it because they have failed to see that God has provided the fruit of the Spirit in every situation and trial that we will go through. When we start to doubt, faith is present. It's a fruit. And you say to me, "Oh, but yes, get into God's word. Listen to the word. The fruit of the Spirit is there to believe. It will dispel unbelief." The reason there are not changes in your life, the reason God is not using you as he would want to, is because of unbelief. You're not letting the fruit of the Spirit take over in your life, of which is also faith. Faith is needed for God's word to believe. Faith is needed tonight to believe this. You can agree with this word, you can listen to this word, but you may not be releasing faith as you're hearing it. That was the children of Israel's downfall. They didn't mix faith with that which they heard. In Hebrews it says. So we need the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of faith, mixing with this word which we hear, which will then make us active, not only hearers, but doers of the word. And so you see, our faith in God's word, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, will begin to dispel that fear, that anxiety, that worry, that unbelief. We spoke about a lot about this on Sunday, how that we're not to become anxious for our everyday needs. How much more, God says, he will bless us. But you need the fruit of the Spirit there. You need faith to believe for that. As it's not going to work, brothers and sisters. You see, the temptation to fleshly excess, materialism, idolatry, gluttony, all of these things that the flesh life likes can be overcome by manifesting the fruit of what in this case? Temperance. The fruit of self-control. You may be saying, "How can I become temperate? I've heard about it. Self-control. I wish I had it. But I don't know how to get self-control." No, you don't know how to get it because you're looking in the flesh. You're looking to your own strength. You're looking to your carnality, your works. It's not to be found there. It's to be found in the Spirit, the baptism of the Spirit, which you are filled with. That is where it's to be found. Temperance, self-control. He's there. He says it's for you. It's to take over in your weakness. How about with strife or with arguments? How do we avoid all of this and contentions? We allow the fruit of meekness to manifest. Instead of being arrogant and proud, I want to have my say. I want to control in this debate to show them that I know everything. No, we yield over to meekness. Jesus revealed meekness many, many times in his life and war, and particularly at his betrayal, and when he stood before Pontius Pilate and all of them, his meekness was manifested by often saying nothing. keeping quiet. Why am I saying this? Because you are to bring peace into a situation. You are called to be peacemakers. We're told in Matthew 6 that the peacemakers shall be the sons of God. Do you want sonship in your life? That is what you're called to be, a peacemaker. In other words, the fruit of the Spirit is working in your life. What they are seeing is that fruit. This is why I've said that we can bring peace, we bring light, we can bring deliverance into a situation, into rows sometimes, or family feuds, or situations at work, or whatever it is. Your very presence can change all of that because of God who lives in your life. The flesh must be ruled by the Spirit. You see, the flesh in itself is not evil, but it can become evil because it can become the instrument to which we sin. That's the problem. Sin is manifested by the flesh, but flesh isn't wrong because we are fleshly. We're made in the flesh. But sadly, through sin, it's now got to be dealt with. Reins have to be put on it, has to be brought under control, has to be tamed. The flesh, putting it crudely, can be like a wild animal. Has to be tamed. It's what sin has done. And so God baptizes us in the Holy Spirit, empowers us in which to do this. Turn with me, if you will, to Romans 7, verse 25. Romans 7, verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. But he doesn't stop there, does he? Because he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So it is allowing the Spirit to now lead and guide us to dominate. The Spirit of what? The Spirit of God that lives in you. The new Spirit, the new life. You see, the flesh seeks to serve sin. And you can't change the appetites of the flesh. Don't even try and attempt to try and change it, but allow the Holy Spirit to control them through the fruit of the Spirit and the cross that you daily take up and follow the Lord. This, of course, is controlled back in Galatians, verse 24. Of Galatians 5, for those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So that's what it is. It's believing the power of the Holy Spirit will crucify the passions and the lusts. And he will. But don't you try it. Don't you try and change those appetites, those things, because you'll fall flat on your face and you will land up in deep depression, or you will become very religious and pharisaical. No, it's the cross that deals with this, crucifixion. Don't try and make friends with the flesh, because you never will. The flesh will show you in the walk of the Spirit it is your enemy. And you have to deal with the enemy. The same as we're in spiritual conflict and warfare. We deal with the powers and principalities, dominions, as the Lord's showing us. So we have to have the same mindset over the flesh. You cannot make friends with it. You see, the life that is in you, which is the life of Jesus Christ, his life living in and through you now, will change all of this. He's going to change your desires. He's going to change your choice. He's going to change everything in you if you let him. And that is why we yield over to him. And that yielding, everything I have said tonight, is not about doing. It's passive in the sense it's a heart's desire. It's a confession. It's a bringing it before God, placing it at the foot of the cross, keeping yourself on that altar, daily confessing, I take up my cross this day and follow Christ. The Holy Spirit will do the rest. That is what he has come for. And he'll do it. Make no bones about it. And you will find that you can yield over, and the fruit of the Spirit, it is all there to take over in every situation that you go through. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. In other words, there's no law that is attached to those fruits of the Spirit, those nine fruits. That keeps you completely free from bondage, from the law, from guilt. It's all there provided for you and I. That is why the baptism of the Holy Spirit is so essential. It's not just manifesting the gifts, all of which is important, not just speaking in tongues or the power to lay hands on people, which so much of Christendom has just taught over the years, far, far more. He is to take over your life. He is to be the strength of your flesh, my flesh. But it is our choice. It's whether we want it or not.